The reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, starting at verse 18, if you have one of these. It's page 1004. These are the words of Jesus and also writing about what he did. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast when he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Likewise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples walked along. They began to pick some ears of corn. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord of even the Sabbath.'"
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through your word, that you promise to do that. Father, thank you for the time that you've given David and Olivia to prepare to bring your words to us this morning. Would you bless them? Would you turn us towards yourself? Would you give us the wisdom to lay down the things that are in between us right now and to pick you up, and then the faith to say yes to whatever you give us? Thank you for your presence with us. Please speak to us this morning, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris and Lucy, and welcome again. As we're in this series on walking in the footsteps of Jesus, we're particularly thinking today and these last few weeks about our life with God. And particularly today, thinking about how faith and living by faith is helped by our spiritual disciplines. How do some of those mentioned in the passage help our faith, and how they're linked to faith? But you know, one of my favorite quotes about a life with God is by an author called Richard Foster, who became well known for writing about spiritual disciplines. And he wrote this. I wonder if we could skip the picture and just have the quote up on the screen. He said this: "A life with God is a life of unhurried peace and power. It is solid. It is serene. It is simple. It is radiant. It takes no time, though it permeates all our time." I wonder if we could just keep that up there for the moment. I wonder how you would describe your life. I wonder if you ever feel like life is out of control. Whether you feel stressed, hurried. You know, the first time I read this quote, I knew it didn't describe my life. But I longed for it to. I longed for this to be a description of my life, and I've read it often since, kind of coming back to it, praying into it. And you know, as I come into Lent, as I anticipate this time, this is one of the things I want to pick up again and pray into and say, "God, I want to keep growing in this. I want to grow in a life with God. And we've already looked in the last couple of weeks about things that are going to help us with that. We've looked at the power of living by prayer and by God's word and the importance of living by the Spirit. And today we're going to think about living by faith, and particularly these two sort of disciplines mentioned in our reading of fasting and Sabbath. You know, these are two amazing gifts. And even in our secular culture, we've started to experiment with them and realize, oh, there's something here that is good. But you know, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they thought they were really, really important. But the religious of Jesus' day, and of ours, and the irreligious can both miss the main point about these amazing gifts. And so that's what we want to press into this morning. How Jesus points to these things, not just as something about giving something up, but about something that he wants us to see in them. There's a new kind of fasting, Jesus says, and a new kind of Sabbath. So firstly, a new kind of fasting. Many people fast. Even you might have seen in the news at the end of last month, the BBC had an article, Rishi Sunak fasts each week, it said, for he thinks it's an important discipline for him as part of a balanced lifestyle. As a church, we're often aware that there's a time of Ramadan, of fasting for Muslims, and some people here I know in the church often press into prayer around that time as well, to pray for different parts of the world. You know, and even in our secular context in Brighton, I want to ask this question. Can you fast without faith? Well, yes, it's a huge trend in our culture. You think about how things like Dry January have gained traction. You think about how actually more and more the health benefits of it are being declared. Although I do love that thing that Amanda said, that fasting should be hard but not harmful. And if for any reason, medically, you shouldn't fast from food, please don't during Lent. And also never fast for weight loss. That is not what is recommended at all by doctors. But you know, the Jews and the people in Jesus' day, in our verse in 2:18, they said this. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. They did what most of the Jews that were religious at that time did. They fasted twice a week on Monday and Thursday. Probably this even happened on one of those days. They used to fast from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. In fact, the only day where the Jews had to fast was the Day of Atonement. But Jesus' disciples didn't fast. Why? Well, look at the passage in verse 19. Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? Jesus is saying, look, I'm like a bridegroom. He's the bridegroom. And in a Jewish wedding feast, it went on for a week, and the guests of the bride and bridegroom, they would be exempt from fasting at this huge time of celebration and feasting. And Jesus says, look, I am here. The one who we've been thinking about in Mark chapter 1, the promised king, the great deliverer, Jesus has arrived. So how could they fast? But he goes on and says, there will come a time, verse 20, when the bridegroom will be taken from them, when his physical presence wasn't going to be with them. Arthur Wallace, writing about this, says this. He says, there will come a time when Jesus sort of says, I will return to my Father in heaven, and during that time you will fast. And Arthur Wallace says, to his writers and to us, that time is now. You see, Jesus is with us by his Spirit. But in another sense, we still long for seeing and being in his physical presence. We long to see him face to face. There is an ache and a longing that we have, which is something that as we fast, we press into. I love this book of John Piper's called Hunger for God. And he asked the question, you know, are we to fast as Christians or not? Is fasting Christian or isn't it? And he says the new wine of Christ's presence demands not no fasting, but new fasting. The new fasting is the feasting of faith. You see, in these two illustrations that Jesus uses of this kind of new patch on an old garment or of a new wine, that has new wineskins rather than old ones, Jesus is saying, look, there's a new reality that's come with his presence. The king has come and the kingdom has come, but there is in the kingdom a sense of it being both present as well as something we're longing for more in the future. And so the fasting that Jesus calls us to is a fasting where we've already tasted of the goodness of his kingdom, of the gift of his spirit. We know that Jesus did die and rise again. That changes everything. We can go through times of fasting with a security and a joy and a peace, and yet we're longing. As we fast, as we hunger, we're longing for more of God, more of his presence, more of his peace, more of his power at work in our lives and the lives of others in our world. You know, Lent is a period of preparation and fasting likely to have been observed before Easter since apostolic times, the Encyclopedia Britannica says, though the practice was not formalized until the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. That's quite a long time ago that Christians have been fasting through Lent. So I love what Amanda was encouraging us in to think about this time. Maybe particularly as we think about that fasting, is there something we could, as it were, lay down to feast in faith on the Lord Jesus and long for more of him? Maybe something that you give up, like chocolate or alcohol or meat. Or maybe some activity, like Amanda was saying, a social media app, or maybe a Netflix or something like that. Or maybe from a meal or two each week. And as we fast, what do? Well, it's a prompt to pray. A hunger to say, Jesus, I want more of you, the bridegroom, and your presence in my life. You know, in the traditional Lent fasts, as Amanda was saying, Sundays are exempt. The 40 days didn't include the kind of Sabbath. And actually, often in the Old Testament and New Testament, there's a link between in places like Isaiah 58 and even in our passage where Sabbath and fasting get mentioned together. And so I would love to, as we think about Sabbath, to invite Olivia to come, because I've really learned a lot about Sabbath by listening and watching Olivia in her life. When we went to Ethiopia together with a team from the church, we had a chance to speak to some pastors in a pastor's conference there, and Olivia shared some great things about Sabbath with them that I would love her to share with you as well. So Olivia, could you come on up, and as we think about our next part of our passage. Thank you, Olivia. That's great.
Thank you, David. Let me just... I wonder if I gave you this gift this morning, what your response might be. I don't know what your response might be, and different people might have different responses, but I'm kind of guessing that probably not many of you would ask, do I have to open it? And actually, when I give this gift to my cousin later today, if she asks that, I am in big trouble. And you know, as I've been learning about the Sabbath and practicing it in my own life, I've been coming to realize how much Sabbath is a gift. And I think we often approach it in a way where we think, well, is it still a binding commandment? Do I still have to do that? Didn't that change with Jesus? Do I have to? What are the rules? What can I do? What can't I do? And I think we're maybe asking the wrong question. And I am still learning how to open the gift of Sabbath and how to use it. And I think that there is something in that that we can keep growing in together. So let's have a look at this passage and what we can learn from Jesus in this. So the Jewish context of Sabbath is that normally it's from a Friday evening until a Saturday evening, and that's when they practice it. And it would have been assumed that Jesus and his disciples were doing this at the time. And so the disciples are picking some heads of grain, and the Pharisees ask, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And maybe you're wondering, maybe you've missed where the part of the Bible where it says you're not allowed to eat on the Sabbath. You didn't miss that. That is, it's not in the Old Testament, but what the Pharisees are referring to is they had lots of additional rules and regulations about observing the Sabbath that were meant to be helpful, because it's difficult to define what is rest and what is work. If you're a gardener, then gardening is work for you, but for some other people that might be a restful activity. And so these regulations were there to help people. And picking grain can be seen as a kind of reaping, and so that was a kind of work, and work was very clearly not allowed on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees again question Jesus, and that, if you read this whole chapter again and again, the Pharisees keep questioning Jesus on things, and they keep trying to catch him out, trying to pick him up on things. And Jesus responds by telling a story. I love that he just doesn't tell them, no, you've got this wrong. He just tells them a story, and he uses that story to expose the problem in their thinking. And as he so often does, he uses scripture in his argument. And he tells this story of David, who is a hero of the faith, and the Pharisees would have recognized that. The story he references from 1 Samuel 21. David is on the run from King Saul, and he goes to the priest asking for bread, and the only bread they have is the holy bread. And it's very clear in the Old Testament that that is only to be eaten by priests, but David and his companions eat it. And there's a couple of levels to this. There's the use of the Bible to say to these so-called Bible experts, I thought you were the experts on this. Have you not read this story? Do you not remember when this happened with David? But there's also another level that I think Jesus is why he picked this story. This story is about David fleeing from King Saul. King Saul is a recognized king of Israel. But God doesn't view Saul as a legitimate king. God views David as the legitimate king, but he has yet to be exalted and raised up into that position. And here's Jesus telling this story about David as Israel's true but unrecognized king. And I think he's drawing a parallel there in a really clever and subtle way, where he's kind of saying, don't you see that I also am Israel's true but unrecognized king? And what Jesus is kind of giving them a little bit of a hint of, and what he's pointing them to. Jesus isn't saying the practice of Sabbath isn't important. It doesn't matter, you don't need to do it anymore. I think he's questioning the Pharisees' motivation rather than their practice. The Pharisees' observance of Sabbath was really rigid and rule-bound, and it was about following rules. You cannot do that. You cannot pick a head of grain and eat it. That's not allowed. But that's not the original intention of Sabbath. And Jesus wants to initiate a new kind of Sabbath. I find this quote, which is going to appear from Wayne Muller, really helpful. The Sabbath is not a burdensome requirement from some law-giving deity. You ought, you better, you must. But rather a remembrance of a law that is firmly embedded in the fabric of nature. It is a reminder of how things really are, the rhythmic dance to which we unavoidably belong. And that's what life with Jesus is all about. Jesus shows us how we're meant to do it, the way that we're meant to live, a reminder of how things really are. And you know, Sabbath is built into the pattern of our world and the way we were created. Many, many years ago, France tried to introduce a 10-day working week. And guess what? It didn't work. Because the pattern of working for 6 days and resting for one is actually in the very fabric of our being. And when we try and go in our own wisdom, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And then look at what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And those people who were listening to him, they're obsessed with hundreds of rules about what you can and cannot do on that day that warped God's intent behind the Sabbath. And I think what they needed to hear was that people were not made for the Sabbath. It's not about following all the rules. It's meant to be freeing. But we live in a very different context today, don't we? We live in a context where we have no cultural architecture for rest, never mind observing Sabbath. It's all about productivity and what you can do and what you can achieve. And I wonder if today what we need to hear more is the first half of that line. The Sabbath was made for man. It is a gift that you can choose to open and enjoy. Observing the Sabbath as intended by Jesus is a reminder that none of our days are our own. It's an invitation to rest, an invitation to delight, an invitation to practice joy in every season of our life. Because if we're honest, in some seasons of our life, joy comes really easily. But in other seasons, we have to be really intentional about practicing joy. And Sabbath is an invitation to do that. And then we come to the climax of this passage where Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You know, if earlier Jesus was pointing to himself as the unrecognized king in a very subtle way, here he's saying it very, very clearly. Jesus is reminding us that the Sabbath is all about him. It is a practice that reminds us that our worth doesn't lie in what we produce or what we achieve. It reminds us that it's all about what Jesus does for us and not about what we do for him. And it's a really clear statement of identity from Jesus. You know, this is right at the start of this gospel and right at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And he's starting to draw a crowd around him and he makes this claim. He says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And to those Jews who would have been listening to him at that time, they have been longing for a king who will come. And the whole pattern of the Hebrew scripture is this the promised savior? And again, there's a new person raised up and it's not them. And the story continues. And Jesus is saying, the whole storyline of the Hebrew Bible is pointing towards me. I am bringing that rest that you've been longing for. I am the king that you've been waiting for. The one that you spent your whole life hoping for. It's me. And so I want to invite us to see how Sabbath is important to Jesus and how he wants to free it from rules and regulations. And that's all very good, but what does Sabbath actually look like? What does it actually mean? In lots of my learning about Sabbath, I found the work of John Mark Comer and his team at Practicing the Way really helpful. And they identify four words related to the Hebrew word for Sabbath, which is Shabbat. And they are stop, rest, delight, and worship. And when we practice Sabbath, those four things, everything needs to go through those filters or it doesn't get done. So hopefully those will just appear on the screen. And very simply, Sabbath is about stopping. Shabbat means to cease. But it's not just a day off work, because really a day off work is a day where we do all the work that we don't get paid for. Do you know what I mean? We do the laundry, we do the food shopping, we clean the house. Okay, we do all the things that we're meant to do. Sabbath is a rest and a break from all of those things too. Sabbath is about rest, and that looks different for each of us. It is a reminder that our worth isn't in our productivity, and actually it's a difficult reminder. Sabbath is a day for delight. Tim Keller writes, because the world is full of ugly things, we need the Sabbath to feed our souls with beauty. And so what brings you delight might be very different to the person next to you. Make this work for you and for your family and for your context. What are your favorite things to eat? Maybe you eat them only on the Sabbath and you have a special kind of ritual where you do that. And that might involve you fasting from some things during the rest of the week to make Sabbath a real celebration. If you could fill a day with only things that bring you joy, what would it include? That's what Sabbath is an invitation to, and that's what it should be a taste of. I find it really helpful to have beginning and ending rituals to my Sabbath. And my Sabbath often begins the same way, in that I light a candle. And I do an activity called the Sabbath box, where I write down three lists: unfinished tasks, anxieties, and sorrows. And it's just a way of starting my Sabbath and kind of naming the things that are true for me at that very moment, and kind of giving them to God and recognizing where I am, and saying to God that this is where I am, but I want to give that to you. Sabbath for me then often starts by going climbing with some friends, because that brings me joy. It might bring you joy too, but it might not. So I encourage you to think about the things that maybe you could involve in your Sabbath. But importantly, Sabbath also has to include worship, because our delight should point us back to Jesus, back to the giver of all good gifts. You know, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Because if we don't have worship as part of our Sabbath, then, you know, that is not a Christian practice, is it? And we want to point towards Jesus. That is why for many of us, Sunday's a really good day to use for the Sabbath, because you already have an act of communal worship there. And but I encourage you to think about what day that might be for you. The day is less important than what you do. But I also want to just point to one of the things that I have been learning in my practice of Sabbath. I've found it incredibly freeing, and it's often the day that I look forward to for the rest of the week. I find myself longing for it. But it is a difficult practice. I try not to use my phone, and I often find myself just wanting to check, see if there's a message, see if there's an email. I find this from this quote from Ruth A. Barton is going to appear on the screen. When we stop, we are less distracted. And that means that we are more present to our lives as they really are, which means we're more present to the gifts, but also to the pain and to the emptiness. And so as you stop and as you pause, what you might find and what I have found is that sometimes that is really difficult. But Sabbath is an invitation to be with Jesus. And it's not always easy. Ruth goes on to say, it's not always easy, but Sabbath does create space for God to be with us, to comfort us and to help us make meaning of the things that seem so difficult and meaningless. And so if that is what your Sabbath looks like, then I encourage you to lean into that and to allow God to be with you. In Exodus 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. The story that we have read this morning is from Mark. And there's a parallel story in Matthew. And just before two controversies on the Sabbath, Jesus talks about rest. And this is what he says: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you need a taste of that rest? In Hebrews, we read that there is still a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you that rest. The gift of Sabbath is waiting for you, and the question is what you will do with it. And so maybe just as David comes back up, we could pause to think about how this Lent maybe could look different in terms of your practice of fasting and of Sabbath. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the gift of Sabbath. Jesus changes everything.
As we think about walking in the footsteps of Jesus, you know, following Jesus is different from following religion. Jesus transforms our view of fasting and our view of Sabbath, and he makes them both about him. About a life with God. About living by faith. About trusting and depending and leaning upon Jesus. You know, this Tuesday, before Lent begins on Wednesday, is called Pancake Day. You probably notice it as you go to the shops. We sometimes are good at the feasting bit and we forget about the fasting bit. But you know, the reason why people love pancakes is really not about the pancakes. I think it's about what goes with the pancakes. I don't know what your favorite topping is. But fasting and Sabbath are not primarily about the lack of something. It is about what goes with it. The Pharisees had completely missed what goes with the fasting and with the Sabbath. It is about Jesus. He is the bridegroom. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And you know, it is amazing how religious people miss the point of religious practices so easily. It's amazing how the Pharisees think Jesus' disciples are not very religious. And I just want to say, if you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I'm not very religious, then please, we're not inviting you to become religious. We're inviting you to follow Jesus, this wonderful Savior and Lord. To follow the one who, I love that quote you ended with from Matthew 11, who says, come and walk with me. Come and find in me rest. You know, the spiritual disciplines that we've been talking about today, they are not things we do to please God. They are gifts to help us in our walk with God. And particularly through Lent, as we look forward to Jesus' death and resurrection and celebrating that together, those events have already happened that give us a freedom to know that we are loved by God. You see, Lent is a time where we get to afresh live by faith. And so I want to invite the band to come back up. And I would like to invite us to stand together. And as we stand and prepare to worship, if you're able, please do stand with me. And I'm going to use those simple things that Amanda spoke about. And then maybe invite you to do these things as well. You know, whenever we want to live by faith and walk with Jesus, it involves, as we heard right at the beginning of this series, a repenting and believing. A repent is to turn around. And so I want to just ask, what is it that needs to change in your thinking about Jesus? Or change in your thinking about Sabbath and fasting that maybe you need to turn around from in this moment? And so just as the band play, we just say, Holy Spirit, for each of us where we need a change in our thinking, to turn around, to repent and believe. Maybe particularly to remember that you are what we need more than anything else. Just want to invite you, if you feel able where you stand, to simply just turn around with me as a symbol of saying, Lord, I want to repent and believe and turn to you. And maybe with your hands, you just want, as it were, in your mind's eye, lay something down to think, Lord, what would you have me maybe fast from? And then to think about what you want to pick up. Lord, guide us, maybe even to pick up afresh this gift of Sabbath. Lord, help us in that, we pray, for we worship you and we need you.